Really good to see you all. It's wonderful again to be together, isn't it? This day, this particular morning. To realise again how wonderful the Lord is. And to give Him thanks. And to let Him know we really love Him. It's important. However small we may think our offering is, whether it's out loud or whether it's just a small movement in our hearts, we need to respond to Him. And it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, He's Almighty God. He alone is worthy. In one sense, you can think of all the high language to describe Him. Dwelling in unapproachable light. And yet again this morning, somehow in Christ, we find that we can come right into His presence and just say our little thank you. We love you. It's amazing. It really is amazing. Bless the Lord. I'm going to continue from where I left off last time. Dave gave me a helpful tip last time and said, don't do a review, just crack on with the next bit and you might get further. So, because I think my review kind of was the whole morning. Anyway, it's all okay, isn't it? We're amongst friends. Bless the Lord. It's a walk of faith. We are called to walk with the Lord. And I've just been thinking of worship and the word and work as ingredients of this walk. So we're going to focus in and hopefully just finish off this particular theme on work. That's going to be the theme this morning. This is the work of God, said Jesus in John chapter 6. You don't have to turn there. Interesting conversation after the feeding of the 5,000, after Jesus walking on water, miracles going on all over the place, and then these amazing conversations are recorded, and in John chapter 6, eventually the people who were looking for Him, I mean, read the whole story, it's quite, I always find it mildly amusing. They're like, where on earth is the Lord? Where did He go? And then they eventually find Him across the other side of the sea, and they're like, Rabbi, this is in verse 25, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them and said, and I love the way Jesus so often doesn't get sidetracked by what we might be coming to Him on specifically, but he answers with wonderful truth. And He says, most assuredly in verse 26, I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Again, just we won't dwell there, but just a passing point that Jesus really knows our motivation and He sees right through us and in us, and there's no point trying to hide. And the amazing thing is, even when our motives are all a bit possibly not entirely straight, He loves us deeply and He's going for us. And He knows how to get right to the heart of the matter. So He just kind of, in one very quick answer there, I know you. You were hungry. You ate the loaves and were filled. And then He says this wonderful thing. Do not labor, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Wow, that's an amazing statement right there. Which the Son of Man will give you. Because God the Father has set His seal on Him. And then I think possibly the people not entirely getting it at this point said to Him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? That's an interesting question, isn't it? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. We'll stop there. It does go on. What sign will you perform that we may see it and believe you? What works will you do? Etc, etc. But that just to link in with last time, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. It's interesting to note, just staying in John, we're going to go to John 14 in just a moment, but just towards the end there, In chapter 20, John, writing in verse 30 and verse 31, says, makes this comment, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. This is the work of God, that you may believe in him." Do you believe in him this morning? I tell you what, and if you do, truly, from your heart, if you believe he is the one, the only one, well, an amazing, miraculous work of God has occurred in you. And you've, we could describe it at length, but just to say, you've gone from death to life. You've gone from darkness to light. You've been transported, translated. You've been healed. You've had your eyes open that were utterly blind. There's so much we could say about that. Do you believe this morning? Do you believe he's the one? Yeah? Well, that's great. Can I ask you another question? This morning, wherever you're up to in your walk with God, do you believe in him? Though you might have taken a bit of a hit of late, though things might not have panned out entirely as you had them planned, I don't know about you, but in my walk with the Lord, I still have a little kind of plan going on. I share it with him every so often, see if he's on the same page. And then he just reminds me it's his book and his page, and I need to get onto that one. I don't know if you do that. I do it sometimes unconsciously, and the Lord's ever so gracious with me. "Son, it's not your plan." Just so we're clear. Praise God. Do you believe him this morning? I want to ask another thing, and we've sung it over and over again this morning. I will trust in him. Will you? This morning, in the midst of all the perplexity and all the unanswered questions and perhaps at this point unanswered prayers, will you trust in him? Though it be with tears and at times great heartache, will you trust in him? Can I just say again, I know we know this, I'm just encouraged by Mark, keep it simple, don't complicate it. Can I just commend him again to you as truly the good shepherd? Will you trust in him this morning? I know there's things now, even if your mind's kind of overactive a bit like mine is, sometimes you're thinking, well, what about this and what about that? And I need to figure that out and I wish something would happen about that. And this has gone a bit, why is that? Hang on. Listen, the Lord, I believe with all my heart, he's here by his Spirit and he's the good shepherd among us. And he's saying, will you trust me? Fresh, I'm not talking about the history. Thank the Lord for all of that. Thank the Lord that he's got us to this place in time. This moment, this precise moment, it's never going to happen again. Gone. We're on to a new one. Now, will you trust in him, the good shepherd? You answer to the Lord just now, okay? Let's just close our eyes. You answer to the Lord in your heart. It's a yes. It can't be a, I'm sitting on the fence. It's either actually a yes or, in the end, it's a sort of no. It's amazing how many no's the Lord takes from us in his patience. Will you trust him? I just said to the Lord just before when we were singing, suddenly a whole load of things came to mind. Specific things for me. They're not your things, they're mine. And the Lord just said, Dave, I'm talking to you now. I was going, I will trust. I was singing, I was kind of away. And then the Lord just was like, but will you? And there was specific things. And I paused a moment. I was, it's amazing how we deal with stuff, isn't it? And he got me again. And he got me on those specific things to say, yes, Lord, I trust you. I don't know how it's going to pan out, but yes, I do trust you. Good shepherd. Praise him. Praise him. Now, listen to this. This is part of the walk. And Jesus is speaking in John chapter 14. Remember that the work of God is to believe in him. Just turn into John chapter 14 and verse 12 to 14. I read these verses at the end last time, and that's what I was supposed to be speaking about last time. So we'll get to them now. John chapter 14, verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, there it is. He who believes in me, now listen to this. This is phenomenal. The works that I do, he will do also. Just pause there. I mean, there's more coming. But he who believes in me, that actually means whoever believes in me, whoever believes in me, the works that I will do, they will do also. What on earth does that mean? And it's good to say what on earth, because we're on earth at the moment, and that's where it's happening. There's a day coming, as we've been reminded, but for now, embrace the tension. Our feet are on the ground. Literally. And that's how God's ordained it. I love that hymn, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I was having a slight parental anxiety moment when it was about landing on the table. Because we've told our kids to get off the table a number of times. We get, according to that hymn writer, to land on heaven's table. That's relaxed parenting, let me tell you. Anyway. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, the works that I do, he will do. This is on earth. This is talking about what on earth does he mean? And he means it. And then, just when you're reeling from that little clause in the sentence, it says, and, by the way, there's more, greater works than these will they do. Who are these people? These are the people who believe in him. You just said, and I know you might think I've slightly tricked you there, but I asked you at the beginning, who believes in him? Well, you lot all said pretty much. I mean, I didn't get all the answers, but there was a groundswell of support in the room. I sensed it. We can't speak for everyone, but I think we believe in him, don't we? Well, so the whoever, I mean, this is logical. I'm trying to just take little steps here, but that would include us if we're here in this room, putting our trust in him, actively wanting to go on with him. So this is for us. So whoever believes in me, the works that I do, he will do. They will do also, and greater works than these will they do. Because, here's the I love it, the sentence structure here. But it's because I go to my Father. So there's some link here, right? So we're believing in him, and it's linked because he's going to his Father. Now, this whole passage, if you're familiar with John, these chapters are just prior to the Lord's death, but he is opening up, particularly in these chapters in John, a whole level of revelation about the infilling of the Holy Spirit that is coming, because he's going to die, he's going to go to the Father, present, if you like, that finished work, and then, according to the absolute, wonderfully timed plan of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit is going to be poured out without restraint and fill the lives of these believers. Glory to his name. So he's talking about this. It hasn't happened just yet, chronologically. Let me just tell you now before we go on. It's happened a long time ago. For us, we're living in the day of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been and is being poured out. And he's been speaking to us even this morning about this. Right from the very beginning, the children's song. All of it. Still got a bit of work on that one. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's an open heaven. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. The work has been finished. He's ascended. It's all done. He sat down at the right hand of God. And He is interceding for His own. Until He comes again. But for now, sometimes we... And it is, let's be honest, it's a rough road at times, isn't it? But you know what? Even at the roughest of points, we have the privilege of being in the flow and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now that doesn't mean you'll feel like you're on cloud nine all the time. Absolutely. I understand that within measure. But glory to God, we can be filled. He's talking about this. He's opening this up. So He says, He who believes in Me, and He says, works that I do, they will do. Greater works than these will they do because I go to My Father. Has He gone to His Father? He has, hasn't He? Has the Holy Spirit been poured out? Yes, you can read in Acts chapter 2 very clearly. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and then read down the story, and what a mighty outpouring. According to the promise back in the Old Testament in Joel, do you remember Peter explained it all? And we are now post that event. And then He says this in verse 13, and whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in My name, I will do it. Wow. So remember, we're thinking about the work of God. We're linking it with Jesus' words. This is the work that you believe. And Jesus here is saying, whoever believes in Me, the works that I do, they will do also. Whoever believes in Me. Isn't that just amazing? Now I'd like to, this is perhaps a bit tricky, but I'd like to deal with what people who've got amazing theological brains given to them by God call exegesis. It actually means explanation or interpretation, and in the Greek apparently, I didn't realise this, but it's a wonderful thought, it means to lead out. So when you're thinking about meaning of the word, when you interpret or explain, there's a sense in which, and I love the idea of like walking with the Lord and how He leads us and guides us, you remember on the mountain? So in this regard, He speaks to us and He leads us out and leads us on as He explains His word and reveals things to us, and it's by the Holy Spirit. How wonderful. Sometimes it's a bit tricky. I don't know about you, have you ever been a little stumped when you read in the Bible? A few little honest nods there. Most of you got it all boxed off, that's great. I think it's fair to say there's a few passages, a few verses, a few thoughts and ideas which are a little tricky to get your head round, wouldn't you say? Yeah. Okay. Good. Sometimes it is a bit tricky. But I've found this helpful. When we're looking at something, we look at the word, and we're looking at perhaps what does it actually say? That's straightforward, isn't it? What does it actually say? Then we might ask ourselves, what does it actually mean? And then we might ask a question like, how does that relate to the rest of what's in the scripture? Yeah? Useful questions. And then a good one, how should this actually affect my life? So I've found that really helpful just as I've gone through where I'm up to. 45. Just. So what does it say? It's almost like you're observing. And what does it mean? Perhaps that's a bit of interpreting. And how does it relate? That's correlation. And how does it affect my life? That we could say, and Dave's spoken at various times about the importance of this, application. Sometimes we can fail to apply what the word is saying, and we do so at our loss. So, whoever believes in me. So let's just apply those things. What are we actually reading there? Whoever believes in me. Well, I don't think that's tricky to understand the word there, is it? Who's whoever?
Anybody.
Yeah, whoever, anyone. Whoever believes in me. So there's the key point there, isn't it? Whoever believes in me. And then he goes on to say, so you observe it and you think, well, what does that mean? It means anybody. And then you think, well, how does that relate to the rest of the Bible? Well, let me do it. You don't have to do it just now, very quickly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is just in John, just a little kind of correlating in that one book. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whoever believes in me will never thirst, Jesus says. Are we getting the whoever part? This is for anyone. If anyone thirsts, anyone. You said it, anyone. There it is. If anyone thirsts, he goes on. Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Whoever believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Whoever believes in me shall not abide in darkness. And you could go on, that's just a few very quickly from John's Gospel. This whoever is a wonderful theme, and it means anyone, anyone who believes in him. Isn't that wonderful? That means you, my friend. I know we try ever so hard to exclude ourselves and preclude ourselves and disqualify ourselves and put ourselves down. And I'm not talking about, you know, self-fulfillment and all of that. But we have this tendency to really disqualify. Well, let me just tell you, we're all hopelessly disqualified. Okay, so it's sometimes that can be inverted pride. We don't have a look in. We're utterly unworthy. In fact, dead and lost in trespasses and sins. But Jesus has done the impossible thing for everyone. So when he comes and says, whoever, he means you. And you've got no excuse. Is that clear? Is that okay? Am I like pushing my point home? Bless the Lord. This is for everyone. No, this is the best news, because the people who tend to respond quickest are the ones who think they don't have a hope. And they're absolutely right. They don't. At least they've got to that point of revelation quicker. And then the gospel comes in and says, yeah, exactly. That's not relevant. I'm the hope, Jesus says. Isn't that wonderful? You know, our problem so often is because we're in this sort of weird no man's land, doing mental gymnastics around what's actually not the case. Just settle it once and for all. We don't qualify. Sorry. You're all a bunch of, sorry, this is going to sound rude, but utter failures. We've all, the Bible says it really great, better than that. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. No one is good. Not one. This is good ground to get. This is like psychologists, pop psychology, they'd hate this. But I'm telling you straight. We're all hopelessly lost, but for the grace of God. But then the gospel kicks in big time and says, all of you who are utterly lost, you believe in me, and I'm telling you, you're not just going to get saved. I'm going to call you up, promote you to a position that is absurd, it's ridiculous, it's at the top table. It's in Christ. And you, my friends, you who were utterly lost and broken and didn't have a hope, I mean, it's talk about risk-taking. God, in his infinite wisdom and his wonderful plan, it's deliberate. He chooses the weak and the broken and the clay vessels. It's just amazing. And he chooses deliberately to invest the likes of us with the pure gold of heaven. His very own life, his Holy Spirit. Oh, praise him. Glory to God. Glory to God. And he doesn't always heal us physically in this life. And he doesn't always sort out all our temporary problems just like we'd want them. And we don't always get exactly what we choose, naturally speaking, in this life. But that, it, from God's point of view, he chooses to manifest his glory in and through us, even in the midst of all this brokenness. And even through our great struggles, if we're believing in him, I'm telling you, the greater works are being accomplished. Glory to his name. You know what? Sometimes at our darkest moments, when we think it's all gone utterly wrong, and we're tested almost beyond what we think we can bear. You know, right there in the most vulnerable place, he is doing something so precious that is working something that's a far more exceeding weight of glory that's for eternity. We are going to be, I'm telling you, we're going to be so surprised with joy. The very things at times which we feel taxed us almost beyond in this life, I think the Lord, he's working something right there that's going to shine for all eternity. There's this wonderful golden thread of suffering and sorrow throughout the scriptures that is not wasted. Tears in the bowl. Breakings and fragrance that here on earth is sorrow. And somehow up to the Father. I mean, think of the cross. I don't know if you ever felt this. This, when I was a teenager, okay, I admit, looking back, possibly I was a little intense. But I was just where I was at the time. But I read this, thanks a lot, Mum. Ruined me. Brokenness. I think I've shared it once before in an evening. It's. I'm not going to read it all, but this, it goes through the reactions of Jesus at the cross, and it's all different elements that really are aspects, I think, at different times, thankfully not always, but at different times in our lives, these things come to us. And here's one, just when we're thinking about the work of God. When my plans are brushed aside and I see the work of years brought to ruins by ambitions of others, and I remember that Jesus allowed them to lead him away. Now think, he's the ultimate leader. He's the good shepherd who's wanting to lead his sheep, and he allowed them to lead him away to crucify him. And he accepted that place of apparent failure and utter brokenness. And I bow my head and accept the injustice without bitterness. This is brokenness. I mean, that's just one. I won't do any more. But we think of the work of God here. How do we hold these things together? The works that I do, he will do also. They will do also. Greater works than these. At times in my life, at times in my walk, not in any great measure, but aspects of this, I found heartbreaking. And you grapple with real things, don't you? And yet the Lord, as we've been pouring out our love to him this morning, we know him as utterly faithful. the friend, I think Lee was praying, this faithful friend. Bless the Lord. How wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So the works that I do, they will do also. What an amazing thought. Do you find that engaging? Do you? Well, I don't know what you think about work. It's an interesting topic all on its own. But I think I'd mentioned on previous occasions how it's possible to be disengaged. Well, when Jesus says these words, I think he's actually, his hearers in that particular context when he's saying that, I wonder what was going on in their hearts and minds. He's calling them into, amazingly, some kind of partnership with him. What wonderful words. In the scriptures you can read things like this. We are God's fellow workers. I don't know what you're thinking right now. When we're doing the kids' socks and cardigans. Is that true there? When we're doing the menial task that no one sees and we think, goodness me, there must be more to life than this. Is that true there? Fellow worker with God. I tell you what, when you get these thoughts in your mind, it can potentially transform how you go about absolutely everything that you do. Seriously, everything. You know one of my favourite verses in Colossians, don't you? Do you? Yeah. Go on then. Brilliant. Heartily. That's a great word, isn't it? Whatever you do. So it's not whoever. Okay, we got that one clear, I hope. Whoever. Now we're talking about whatever. Seriously? No, I've got a whole list of stuff that surely isn't going to make it into the whatever that's what we're talking about here. I'm a co-worker with God. Surely that doesn't count, that stuff. I've got to get that done so I can get on with the proper business of my vocation. The Lord's still on to this one with me. Because on my little page, I've had at different times a good idea of how it's going to look. You know, the vocational calling on my life. It's got a certain shine to it, you know. And most of the time I'm feeling incredibly fulfilled doing what I was designed to do. Ontologically sound it is. Yeah. On paper. The Lord's taken me into factories, into hospitals, for myself, not visiting. Into dead-end jobs. Seriously, just a little testimony. It hasn't looked great, I'll be honest. I've tried to put a positive spin on it in my CV. Transferable skills. But seriously, temping in a plastics factory that got shut down for major health and safety breaches, it's really hard to work that one in. But it's there. When all my friends were like going on to law and all kinds of stuff. Yeah? I was spray painting and I asked for a mask because my nose was bleeding. They gave me a World War II gas mask and said... And then all laughed at me. And that was after they'd laughed at my satchel and the picnic you used to make me, Dad. Do you remember? Every day I'd go in with all these neatly chopped vegetables and fruit. Honestly, they thought I was a wuss. I see now, seriously. I mean, we're all laughing now. That's great. We've moved on. But at the time... No, see, at the time, for me at that point in time, I thought, what is this? What is it? And then I read this, you're God's fellow worker. Workers together with him. And the Lord was working with them. Huh. And actually, there in the factory, the Lord got hold of me and said, get a grip, son. I've sent you here for this time. You love those people. You're the only one of my people here now. And it might be killing you, but I love them. And I suddenly realised, what were my highfalutin ideas? I'll be honest, I thought I was going to be a missionary. And I've probably romanticised Dad's call. Turns out it's not all hunky-dory. The Lord's fellow workers, the Lord working with them. Whoever believes in me, whatever you do, do it with all your heart. You know what it actually means, the heartily? It means work at it with all your heart. Listen, whatever you do, do it for his glory. We haven't got that long, seriously. I think we're wasting opportunities sometimes. I'm not saying I don't know your situation, I'm talking about me. Sometimes, oh boy, it's not how you do it, it's the way that you do it, isn't it? Isn't it? I tell you what, I can do some dishwasher loading in a range of different attitudes. You know them, don't you? And usually it ends with the speed at which you close that door. Even though the modern ones don't need any help. Boy. Job done. Now that doesn't, I'll be honest, that doesn't please the Lord. But I can do that very same task at peace. I'm not saying, like, don't go over the top here. I'm not talking about, you know, singing angelic songs as you kind of gently close the dishwasher door. No, it's the attitude, isn't it? It's the heart. It's how we are. And you know what? Seriously, let me read this. I've read it before. Here we go. If our desire is to please God, pouring water, washing dishes, cobbling shoes and preaching the word is all one. Amen. Tyndale was basically saying, get off our high horses and stop elevating certain things over other things. I'll be honest, I mean, I like shoes, so cobbling might be something I'd find some fulfilment in. But other things, no. And we sometimes say, well, I'd rather be doing this and not this. And I get it, definitely. Believe me, there's things I'd rather be doing. Not than this, obviously. But you understand? Yes. Do you? You hear my heart? We're in this together. The works of monks and priests, however holy and arduous they be, do not differ one whit in the sight of God from the works of the rustic labourer in the field or the woman going about her household tasks, but that all works are measured before God by faith alone. Whatever you do, work at it wholeheartedly, as to the Lord and not to men. We're all working for the Lord full time. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Sometimes in our language we get confused. And I understand it. So, you know, we'll think of, say, Dad or someone, full-time for the Lord. Well, by implication, and we don't do it on purpose, but by implication that means I'm not full-time. I'm just squeezing it in between my day job. Do you understand? No, I'm full-time for the Lord. Are you?
Yes.
Are you? Now?
Yes.
Glory to God. All full-time for the Lord. All working for the same boss. And he's brilliant. He listens to you. Oh, glory to God. Wow, the time has gone so quickly. Again. Fellow workers, workers together with him, the Lord working with them. It's truly staggering. It is truly vocational. Engaging. And here's the rub. Whatever. Whatever you do. Oh, praise God. Here lies the tremendous mystery. You know what? Next time it's going to be greater works, okay? This is the works that I do. Here lies the tremendous mystery that God should be all powerful. And we've honoured him as such this morning. And yet, he refuses to force us. That came, Mark prayed that, didn't he, about the children.
He refuses to coerce. He refuses to force. He summons us to cooperation.
We are honoured, truly, truly honoured in being given the opportunity to participate in his good works. Remember how he asked for, and this is in quotes, help in performing even his great miracles. So he says, just go very quickly in your mind, fill the water pots. Sometimes we can miss those just little lovely, they're subtle and discreet, but so lovely, so packed full of dignity and all kinds of psychological benefit for the people he was involving. Fill the water pots. Go on. I've found that as a dad, I'll be honest, sometimes I struggle. And Chan's like, love, let them do it. I'm like, whoa, she's going to drop the glass. Fill the water pots. Fill them. Stretch out your hand. The Lord's said that to us even this morning. Will you trust me? That might mean stretch out your hand. What about this one? Distribute the loaves. I mean, that's just three out of the so many. Fill the water pots. Stretch out your hand. Distribute the loaves. And somewhere in the cooperation, in the engagement, in the involvement, and sometimes we don't even know what's going on as we respond to his word, miracles take place. Miracles in our own lives. Miracles in the lives of those we're praying for. Here's another one. Pray for them. Well, hang on a minute, Jesus. You are the ultimate intercessor. How is it that we can pray? We're called to it. Pray for them. Ask. There it is again. Fill the water pots. Ask. Distribute the loaves. Stretch out your hand. Ask. Ask. Bless the Lord. We're going to stop there. Greater works is coming next time, okay? Isn't this wonderful? Don't you just love the way he deals with us? Father, we worship you. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for taking us in to your death, for saying that as you rose, we rise. And for dealing with absolutely everything that would disqualify us. For qualifying us to be yours. And to be filled, to be vessels filled with your life so that you can work your works even in and through us. Wherever, in whatever, with whoever, bless your wonderful name. Lord, I pray that you would continually remind us of these things. And help us, oh Lord, as we walk on together with you. Bless your name. Bless your name. We love you and we respond to you with all our hearts. And we pray for one another. In whatever circumstances we may find ourselves, we pray, Lord, for the encouragement and the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. The comfort and the enabling. And as we reach out to you afresh today, Lord, fill us fresh with your hope. That expectancy of good to come. Glory to your name. Amen.